93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Well then, have you all recovered from Sunday and ready to go again this Saturday? The player sitting opposite me certainly is, as we look forward to a hectic couple of games left in the League One season. This is a great opportunity, as it always is, to get involved in the show tonight. If you want to get a question in to this week's Pompey player, you can do so starting your text message with the word Express, sending that to 81400. You can email us, studio@expressfm.com, or you can tweet us by using @ExpressFM. A very good evening wherever you're listening to us, and welcome to another edition of the Thursday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
How are you all doing? Hope I find you well, and welcome to another edition of the Thursday Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM, the place to be between 6 and 7 every Monday, Thursday and Friday evening for you to get your 1 hour Pompey fix. This show, of course, as ever, being driven to you by Stagecoach Buses. If you want to get involved in the show tonight, you can do so. Start your text message with the word Express, send it to 81400. You can email studio@expressfm.com, or you can tweet us by using @ExpressFM. I mean, to me, it's, you know, and every time I've spoken to Kenny Jackett, he seems like a mild-mannered guy. Was there a different side to him that comes out from time to time?
Half-time?
Yeah.
Not really. I think he's a good manager, and he don't want to show that he's mad with the lads, because obviously the confidence will go down. He's always building up confidence. Every game, even if you're like losing 1-0, 2-0, he's always upbeat about everything, and he just has faith in the lads. And like I said, we've shown that plenty of times this season.
Definitely. And then obviously the Blues got themselves back. I mean, it was a goal in the final 10 minutes from Nathan Thompson, and it was always, did you feel like when you were playing there was always a goal coming, because it was relentless Pompey pressure for 45 minutes or so?
Yeah, I knew there was a goal coming. I didn't think it would be Nathan though. But no, fair play to him. It was a great ball by Gaz at the back post, and he's got in front of his mark, and he's headed it into the top corner. And if we wouldn't have scored in the second half, we would have been very unlucky. We had chances, balls across goal, jammers, had a few chances across the goal, and once we'd scored and make it 1-1, we had confidence in what we're going to do in the 90 or extra time.
Yeah, and it was another half an hour battle with Lee Cattermole. I can imagine that's quite a ferocious battle, because even from the stands, it looks like he's got a lot to say.
Yeah, well, he's an experienced player. He's been there and done that. But it's nice. I like playing against players like that, because it gives me confidence, and I like to beat my player in front of me.
It's definitely, and I know do you see that as a huge, motivation going into the final few games of the season? We'll talk about the run-in in the next part of the show, but just against Sunderland and what that win could mean.
Well, we've been on a great run over the last few weeks now, and we just need to keep on keeping on this unbeaten run. And if we can be unbeaten till the end of the season, we'll see where we are after the after Accrington, and if we get promoted then that's an unbelievable feeling. But we need to take every game as it comes, and like I said, we need to win them.
Let's talk about the extra time. You go through it in the first 15 minutes, then it did seem like a few of the boys were cramping up. Were you one of them?
Well, yeah. I think every muscle in my body was struggling at that time. But I think the adrenaline kept me going. I didn't want to come off. The gaffer was obviously saying, "You're right, you're right." I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine," which I wasn't. But I couldn't come off in that game. So, but yeah, I think there's a lot of lads who put their bodies on the line and went through pain barriers, and fair play to them because we wanted to get that cup and we did everything we can to do so.
And then there's Jamal Lowe's goal as it goes through. And could you believe that Matt Clark running from centre after play and going, "Where's he getting this energy from?" and chipping it in and the elation? Did you think, "We've done it, we've won it"?
Oh yeah, at the time, obviously, when I see Clarkie running at the defence, he'd been doing it all season, and I wasn't surprised at all. Once he went out, I covered him, and it was a great ball over the top to Jamma, and I was just open, I was just shouting to chip him, and he did so, and like obviously it was probably the best feeling ever when that went in. The scenes was unbelievable. I was just looking around to the Pompey end where everyone was jumping up and down and thinking this has got to be it. But that's football, and we had to have 5 minutes where we were a bit under the cosh.
It's one of those things with football where you go from the ceiling to the floor very quickly.
Yeah, they went where once they made it 2-2. I think everyone was on the floor thinking, "Oh, what do we need to do to win this game?" And but yeah, we had to dig deep. I think Jammer had a chance towards the end, which he missed shot. And but when it was penalties, I think the lads were confident and everyone was confident that we could win, and we did so.
I mean, how much practice went into the penalties?
We had a full week of training, and every day the lads was practicing one or two penalties. I didn't want to practice too much because obviously with the thoughts and that going through the head on the actual game. So I think if you went to take a penalty, just pick where you play and hit it.
Did you have a number at all?
I was seventh, yeah.
Seventh?
Yeah, so me and Tommy was next to each other thinking he was sixth and I was seventh, so I was like, "Oh, I hope he scores this."
I didn't fancy the Wembley walk down there. It must take some bottle to do that. But five penalties, five goals, exceptional, exceptional placement. But, I mean, talk me through the walk-up to get the trophy. Players up and down the country.
It's crazy. It's like I said, it's one of them feelings and emotions what you never probably get again. And I did it when I was like 19 for Mansfield, and I walked up there getting the runners up medal, and it was a horrible feeling. Why we watched the winners get the trophy, and I'm just glad that it was smiles going up that stairs, then rather than sad faces this time, and looking over on the balcony to the fans and all my family and friends. It was a good sign.
Was it strange doing a walk which you must have seen hundreds of times on the TV and looking at it and going, "Oh, this is it now. It's my time to walk the walk and lift
course,
the trophy."
Yeah, everyone's done that walk. Obviously, the Champions League final was there a few years ago. The best players in the world done that walk, and it's nice to follow the footsteps.
Definitely. And you get it onto the pitch and the celebrations, and the celebrations continued, I'm sure, into the night as well. And I suppose, does that bring a team closer together? Winning breeds confidence.
Yeah, of course. I think we are a close-knit side anyway. But this just shows what we've got in the change rooms, the ability we got, and the togetherness.
Definitely. It's not just me who's asking the questions to Tom tonight. It's you if you want to get involved as well. Start your text message with the word Express, and that's 81400. You can email studio@expressfm.com or tweet us using @ExpressFM. We'll be back after the break in the first of your questions after this.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening. Welcome back to the second part of the Thursday Football Hour with me, James Robbins, 93.7 Express FM, where you can get your 1 hour Pompey fix tomorrow as Jake Smith previews another massive game, as they're all going to be at this stage of the season ahead of Wickham on Saturday. Tom Naylor, our studio guest this evening. If you want to get involved in the show, you can do so. Start your text message with the word Express, send that to 81400. You can email studio at expressfm.com, tweet us using at Express FM. This show, of course, driven to you by Stagecoach Buses. If you're a student, download the Stagecoach Buses app, get yourself the day rider and explore everywhere from the South Coast to Wiltshire and everywhere in between. So, Tom, attention now suddenly shifts from all cup competitions and the euphoria of Wembley to the league on Saturday. How different is it, and how challenging is it to switch your mindset from back onto the job in hand?
Yeah, it is going to be difficult, but we all knew what the situation was after the Wembley situation. We knew we had games left. We're going to prepare right as we have done all season. Yeah, we've got 7 games left. Like everyone says, they could be they could be cup finals, etc. So we'll try and get automatic promotion and see where we are.
There's a huge range of opinions. We did a show on the Monday Night Football Hour. We were talking about how many points we thought the Blues would need to give themselves a chance, or B, hopefully into those automatic promotion places. I think there's 7 games left to go, 6 games left to go. How many of those do you think Pompey need to win to get into the automatic promotion places? For you and the players, is it still on?
Oh yeah, definitely. We've got, of course, still on. We've got plenty of games left where we can win points. And once it, like, the table shows that we can't get there, then that's it. But we've got I think we're 5 points behind Barnsley
with
a game in hand. So and they've got some tricky games to come. But like I said, we just got to concentrate on us, and if we can do our business this end, hopefully they can mess up along the way, and we can go from there.
Looking at the table and looking at the goal difference, I think it's fair to say the Blues have got some catching up to do as well on that as well. Is it now a case of, with some of the games, it's not just beating sides, it's absolutely walloping them as well?
Oh yeah. If it's obviously we would just want 3 points, but if we can beat teams more than 3-4-0, then we will do. But like I said,
it's a lot easier said than done.
Well, yeah.
It's not a case of,
yeah, we could have done that all the season, but we got promoted by now if it was that easy. So, but yeah, we just, as long as we get the 3 points, and then if we're 2-3-0 up, we try and kill them off with more goals, but we won't be looking at that.
I mean, is it almost an advantage in a way that Pompey are in a mindset of, we have to win every game, whereas, you know, people like Barnsley, people like Sunderland maybe can afford to drop the odd point here and there. Maybe Pompey aren't in that luxury, and you boys know that it's 3 or nothing.
Yeah, we're chasing, and some teams obviously they like to chase because there's probably no pressure on the lads. We just go out there, try and win games. But if you're in that automatic place, when you know you need to really win games so people can't catch it, then that's where the pressure is, and they need to probably win a fair few of their games like we do.
And looking at the, is it hard to sort of take every game as it comes, or actually does it get easier at this stage of the season?
I won't say it'll get easier, because we've got some hard, if you look on our fixture list in the next 7 games, we've got some really hard games.
Looking beyond the game at Saturday, so you just focus on Wickham, and then once Wickham's gone, then you focus on the next one, whereas, I don't know, some players might choose to look at blocks of games instead.
No, we just, like I said, we just take every game as it comes. Whatever game is coming up, we concentrate, we build up to that game, hopefully win, get the 3 points, go on the next one, 3 points, go on the next one.
It's sure going to be a really interesting end to the season. And Wickham on Saturday as well. I'll touch on the game quickly. It's one which I hate I hate looking at, because it's just it's an awful spectacle of a game for a fan. You know there's going to be 10 minutes of additional time, you know, mm-hmm. it's going to be about 2 minutes for every throw and about five for every corner.
Yeah.
How difficult is it to try and keep emotions under wraps in those kind of games and not get infuriated and not getting suckered into their game plan?
Yeah, it is hard. When you want to play quick and you want to get the game rolling, and some teams do slow it down against the probably us. We've had it like this season when obviously keepers had goal kicks and they just take ages to kick it, and obviously that's just frustrating. We get on the ref, try and quicken the game up, just lose our momentum really. That's why I want to just keep on going and just keep the ball rolling and just be just win games.
What's one of the lessons that Pompey have learned earlier on in the season or previously in the season which is going to help aid their last seven games or so? Is there anything which the team and squad have learnt?
I think at the start of the season we were just winning games and a confidence was sky high, and I think we had a bad spell in January at Christmas time where we know ourselves that we're disappointed. Disappointment to all the matches we played in, but now we're on a run and it feels like we're back to where it was at the start of the season, and I just think we need to just keep on going from there, and the confidence is sky high in the change rooms.
Let's go to some of the texts, tweets and emails coming into us. Very good evening to Greg listening out in Hamburg, who says, hi Tom, question for you, probably pretty obvious, but how did it feel to play in front of 40,000 or so plus fans? I mean, I think the official attendance 85,000 inside the Wembley stadium. Some people have said, and I'm sure some people will go on to say, that it was probably the best Pompey atmosphere inside Wembley which there's ever been.
Well, yeah, the fans was unbelievable. Like I said, 40 plus, because I couldn't hear the other Sunderland fans. So
they really are the silent masses, aren't they?
Yeah, but but yeah, it was unbelievable. Walking out to right after the at the start that we saw coming out from the tunnel, and you could just see blue. It was brilliant. And it's weird because obviously when you're playing, you don't concentrate on the fans. You don't hear the noise. You just concentrate on football, and that's when you can enjoy it. After was when Orkin scored the penalty, and you can just embrace them.
I mean, when the second one went in for 2-1, did you take a moment to listen to the noise, or are you just so transfixed in the moment that you just don't remember?
No, that's what I mean. I couldn't tell you what the noise was when Jammer scored. I'm sure it was loud, but yeah. I was just concentrating, trying to get to celebrate with Jammer as quick as I can. But like you said, I think the fans who was seeing that goal, they must have been unbelievable.
Sorry to go back to the penalty shootout. Actually, it's just because I pulled it up, and the Twitter that we've used on at Express FM is a picture of you running away. I think when the Ollie Hawkins penalty was put away. What's that moment like?
That when you know you've won the cup and you can just enjoy it, then you can. There's no pressure of taking any more penalty because I know I was coming up, but yeah, just smile on your face where you can look at the fans and see their emotions and take it all in.
Very good evening to Eric Eisner, who's listening all the way in the States. Very good evening. Hope you had a safe journey, and I'm sure you had an enjoyable day out at Wembley. Glad to hear that you're listening. Very good evening to Graham Wilkins, listening in, who says, hi James, hi Tom. Thanks for the great day out at Wembley. The final, for me, was better than winning the FA Cup, as it had so many more ups and downs with it. The first half wasn't pretty, but afterwards it was so good. Just starting to get my voice back now, you and many others. Graham, when Pompey play well, the fans respond in unison and the noise ramps up louder. The flags were a good idea too, just added to the atmosphere. So do you go to Wickham the night before, or do you travel on the game? So I guess match day preparation is the focus of Graham's question there. Is it a case of going up there on the night before, staying, relaxing into the Saturday?
Yeah, we're going up tomorrow. We're going to train in the morning, and then head up to Wickham to the hotel around about. We're going to leave about 11 o'clock from the training ground, so we can get to the hotel, relax, do what we got to do, probably see the physios, have rubs, just be ready for the game against Wickham.
And Graham goes on to say, what are your match day preparations? Do you have a set routine of something which you do night before a game, morning of the game?
Yeah, I've got my own routine. I think every one of the lads has got their own routine. I always like see the physio the night before, and then be the first one on the physio bed on the match days, and then after about half an hour before we go out, they always stretch me, work with my legs and everything like that, and then foam roll, and then we can go out and have the warm up.
A very good evening to Dal Singh listening in. He says, evening gents, firstly congratulations Tom on winning on Sunday, such a lovely feeling. You've built up a good relationship with Ben Thompson, which worked really well. However, your partnership with Ben Close is seeming growing from strength to strength. What does Ben Close bring differently to Ben Thompson?
I just think with Ben Close, just his composure on the ball is brilliant, especially obviously his young lads coming through the youth team. It just felt like he's been playing a long time. He's great at passing, like I say, he can score goals as well, and over the last couple of months he's got that bit bite with the tackling as well. That's probably encouraged his game, and he's probably used that in matches where he needs to put his foot in, and he has done.
I mean, the relationship, as Dal said there, it seems, I mean, certainly to me in the stands, like it's grown from strength to strength, and I'm sure that's come through regular game time playing alongside him. How much of an adjustment was that from Ben Thompson to Ben Close?
I don't think it was too much. Obviously with Ben Thompson, we all see how good he was on match days. He could get the game by scruff of the neck and do something for us. And probably everyone said that at the time when he left, we probably missed him. But I think Ben Close has come in, done the job, and he's been brilliant for us.
And do you feel like that you two have what seemingly like the perfect balance in the centre of midfield? You've got Close, who gets his foot on the ball and likes to pass it about, as do you. You've got a bit of steel in the midfield and have made some terrific last-ditch tackles as well in the defence to help them out as well.
Yeah, of course. I'm there just to clean everything up, really. Like, more defensive role than Ben. But yeah, it's always nice to have a closer in front of you where you can give him the ball if you need to, and he could put split defences in half with his passing, and if he does lose it, I'm always there to be behind him to try and win it back.
If there are any questions which you would like to put to Tom Naylor, as they have done so far, you can do so. Start your text message with the word Express, send that to 81400, email studio@expressfm.com, tweet us using @ExpressFM. Is there any aspects at all of the game which you feel like that you're still developing, Tom?
Yeah, there's always development in people's games. I think over the last couple of months I've been more, obviously with my passing situation, it feels like I've stepped up with that. But obviously with the tackling, I've always had my tackling, and because obviously I was a defender, centre half, when I was younger. So, but yeah, I think development wise, probably my passing, which sometimes can be seen, that it isn't quite there. But that's what you got to do is you got to practice, and it will come.
Speaking of practicing, coming up after the break, we of course have the Pompey Keep You Up Challenge. Have you done much with the size one at all from last time to now?
No, I don't play with size ones. play with a bit more bigger balls than that.
See if we've got a spare size. Actually, I think it'll probably kick off if we're out the size 5 for you. Tom, it's been a pleasure. We look forward to the next part of the show and seeing if you can race. You reckon you could get into the Brett Pittman's? We haven't had Ben Close on there. Let's see where he is. No, I mean, is there any targets at all there you're looking at and looking to?
Just beat my last score, probably 29.
Let's find out if Tom Naylor can beat 29 kick-ups on the next part of the Thursday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Very good evening. Welcome back to the third part of your Thursday Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM. If you're sat by your phone or you're on your laptop listening to us, head over to 93.7 Express FM on Facebook, where you can watch our Facebook Live video of Tom Naylor doing the Pompey Keepy Ups Challenge, as we do this time every Thursday. So head over, that's Facebook, Pompey 93.7 Express FM for that on Facebook. Tom Naylor set the target himself there of 29 kick-ups. Can he get into the top half of the table? Confident?
Not really, no.
No.
I think it's a bit egg-shaped, this ball is.
Yeah, no, it's... yeah, we might need to invest in a new one for the new season. Might, well, if we're back... Yeah. Right, I'll quickly run through the rules. If this is your first time listening to the show, firstly, where have you been? Secondly, so the Pompey players got 1 minute to do as many kick-ups as they can do inside of a minute. Every time the ball drops to the ground, the counter resets to zero, but we take the highest score and place it onto the leaderboard. So, without any further ado, in 3, 2, 1, go. Well, so far, for anybody who hasn't seen the studio setup here, it's not very player friendly. Settee, a few microphones about, a couple of chairs. So it's an interesting layout. Anyway, Tom going well so far. 30 seconds in. So if you want to get involved, you can actually watch the show back later if you want. Head over to our Facebook page, Pompey Live, Express FM 93.7. Express FM is where you can find us. With 5 seconds left to go. So
easy.
A few dropped attempts there. But it was a solid effort towards the middle. Where do you think?
I know where I've got.
You are on
Virgie.
Bum bird. 39.
Yes.
Solid. Solid. Rising up the table. You're above Joe Gallen, which is many people's when he players target when they.
Imagine the boys now, look, behind Joe Gallen. It's embarrassing, isn't it?
We'll have to get Joe Gallen back in and see how many if he can beat his attempt. Yeah. his attempt of 33. Mason, as ever, thank you so much, our official adjudicator of the show. Right, we'll do a couple of quick fire questions then, Tom, about your Pompey teammates. I mean, firstly, who's the best dresser at the club?
Oh, some bad ones out there, aren't they? Best dresser? I don't really know, to be honest with you. And, who have we got out there? I'd probably say... God. Probably say Brownie. Yeah.
And the worst?
Birgie, 100%.
A popular answer. I would say those who's got the best taste in music, worst taste in music. You lads don't really have much of a shout, though.
No.
No, because that's Jamal and Ronan's.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I bet you everyone knows what they probably listen to. To be fair, Jammer did ask us if he wanted to put our own mix on the Wembley change rooms, and everyone had two songs each, so that was nice of him.
Yeah, I was going to say he's on there when he was the last player we had on, and he was talking about putting together a Wembley mix. Bit of an upgrade from the usual games, or
no? Is that what you're saying? But I think I think they only put one song on. One song, and I requested that. So
which is
Lewis Capaldi.
Okay, yeah.
A little bit of remix to it, and I think it got the boys going.
Who's the most dramatic?
Most dramatic, yeah, Ronan. He's dramatic. If anyone goes near him, he starts crying.
Who is so in those the cryo chambers which you've got at the club? There's all the lads are in there. It's last man standing. Who's the last one left in there?
Probably say Clarkie, because he's always in there. I probably can. He gets used to the cold now.
First one out.
Me, because I hate cold stuff. Ice baths, I can't do it. Anything regarding cold water, no, that's not me.
No, it's actually most of the players have said themselves. They've just said it is. I mean, you can't describe just how cold it is.
No, it is cold. Yeah.
Who is the most likely to be a Premier League manager?
Probably, I think Pitts could be, but Pittman. He might say otherwise.
No, he said himself.
Yeah, probably Pitts. I'd probably say Pitts. He's probably got the experience for them, isn't it?
Have you started thinking about that side of things, looking into past the career?
Yeah, not at the minute, no. I probably should really in the next couple of years, but I've not really thought about it. I'm not sure what I want to do, probably. I'm not sure if I'm going to stay in football or not. I'll probably cross that bridge when it comes to it.
Who would be the most likely to walk out of a restaurant without paying?
I would say probably Jamal. I've heard a few stories of Jamal. Probably forgot his wallet, or I left my wallet in my car. One of them ones, old jokes. Probably said, yeah, jammers. They probably wouldn't like that, but yeah, well.
That's a popular answer, in fairness.
Yeah.
Who's the most likely to throw a fit playing Monopoly?
Throwing a fit? I don't really know, to be honest with you. Probably Ollie.
There are some difficult questions in there. There are some. I mean, Christian Burgess sort of said some of the accusations he just didn't want to throw about. It's I mean, just the dynamic of the travelling. Do you have a set seat on the coach? Do you mix it about a bit? Do you tend, if you stay on one table, then you'll move to another?
No, everyone's got this set seat from probably the start of the season. Everyone just sits in that place. There's a few lads, obviously we're that back at the bus, we play cards and that. We've got our own set tables, we've got two tables so we can play cards, and everyone's got their own thing really. There's a few lads who sit at the front with the watching Netflix or watching a film what they downloaded. Everyone does their own thing on the bus.
So who's your table of choice then?
Well, I sit with Brownie, Ronan, Gaz, Pitts, Dion, Tomo. And obviously used to be Watmore and McGee when they came on the bus and that.
Let's go to some of the text, tweets and emails which are coming into us. A very good evening to Sarah Powers, who says, do the players get to keep their shirts which they have worn for the cup matches and cup finals, etc?
We've kept our shirt what we finished in on Sunday. So that was a nice momentum, and I'll probably put that on the wall towards the end of the season alongside with me medal.
Is there much of a superstition? I know I remember reading an autobiography, I think it was Gerald, he said, you know, footballers are such a superstitious bunch. Is there sort of that thing of when people are doing media days and things like that, it's like, don't touch the trophy, you can't do this, don't do that, the rules pretty much get said to you beforehand?
Not really. We didn't really think through. We didn't really see the trophy when we got into the ground or when we were warming up. But I think like you said, I think you don't touch it before you go out. Bit of bad luck, really. So obviously, looks like the Sunderland players did.
You also, between the last time you came on and now, you've also worn the Pompey armband as well. Is that a bit of added pressure during the game? Is it a motivation which enhances your game?
Yeah, I think it enhances your game, really. I think whenever the gaffer gives me the armband when Pitts and Gaz isn't playing, it's a nice, it's a privilege to wear it at this club, and I think there's a responsibility. But yeah, it's like, Once he gives you the armband, I think you probably got to step up, get the boys going. And but there's a few lads in there who gets the boys going anyway, so everyone's each their own.
Who's the big motivator?
We've got a few in there. We've got the experienced lads, like obviously Pitts, me, Brownie, Gaz, and there's a few other lads who says the bit. So yeah.
I think it was Brandon Hounds, obviously, when he gets the lads motivated, that Gaz Evans says the same thing.
Yeah, I know. Come on. me and Dion always have a little chuckle in change rooms. Every time Gaz says that, we always look at each other and have a little giggle to each other.
Is it something when you took the armband, you did something similar, or you just thought, let the other lads motivate themselves?
Yeah, I think everyone knows what they need to do. I think you just got to... you've got to say what you need to be said. All depends at half time if you need to say stuff, but everyone knows what roles they've got.
And I guess some people will always ask the question, they go, oh, you know, a football captain, they don't really do too much. Is that a bit of a lie? What's the difference in wearing the armbands and not?
I think obviously when you got the armband, it's just that extra like leadership and responsibilities. It's always nice to be obviously a captain. Everyone's probably want to be a captain. Once you get on the pitch, I think you still got to play your own game, but encourage lads as much as you can.
If you want to get involved in the show tonight, you can do so. Start your text message with the word Express, send it to 81400. You can email studio@expressfm.com, or you can tweet us by using @expressfm, and we'll be back just after this.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Very good evening. Welcome back to the final part of your Thursday Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM. The place to be between 6 and 7 every Monday, Thursday and Friday evening. This show, of course, being driven to you by Stagecoach Buses. If you want to download the Stagecoach Buses app, you can find it on the Google Play Store, the App Store, or wherever you download your apps from, and you'll find all the information, all the timetables, all the fares, all the changes, all the routes which you could possibly desire. I won't go any further without saying a huge congratulations to the Pompey women's team, who are Hampshire Cup champions, winning last night. The chairman, Eric Colborne, who we've had on a few times, I'm sure, is absolutely delighted. So congratulations to all the women on a hugely successful couple of days for Portsmouth Football Club. So Tom, away from the football side of things, how important is it, especially at this stage of the season, to focus on other things other than football?
Yeah, it's always nice to focus on other things. Obviously, the summer's coming now, so you've got to get your golf swing going before the summer. Obviously, because I'm going to Portugal in the summer with my mates back up home, so I've got to get my swing going and get my game going for that.
How has your golf improved throughout the winter?
It's all about winter, isn't it? I don't really play winter, but over the last couple of weeks I've blasted it and I'm feeling good.
That's good. We've talked about actually some of the courses which you've played around here, and it must be sort of quite nice that there is, I guess, a variety of places which you can play, a variety of places you can get out to.
Yeah, well, we've played me and Vaughan played at Liverpool last week, and it was like one of the best courses I've played on for a while, and everything about it is nice. And Stoneham down in Eastleigh, that's a nice course, which saw Matt Letizia down there as well, actually.
Yeah,
he's a member there, so but yeah, that's a nice course, and there's quite a few nice courses around here. Which is a bonus.
Nice. It's a definite hotbed for golf courses around here as well. And there's, I mean, what is the correlation between, there are so many footballers that play golf. Is it something to do with the movement or just the fitness?
I don't know. Actually, there's a lot of people who play golf, but I've heard that, you know, that Odin Wingy, he used to play for QPR. I think I've heard that he's gone professional over the next couple of weeks. So yeah, there's a few out there who play golf. I don't know what it is. I think it's just a sport where it's good to watch, and if you play it, then it's lovely to get out there when it's a nice day.
And of course, you've moved down as well from the north as well. Have you now feel like you've properly settled in to your surroundings?
Yeah, definitely. And like, obviously, I know where thing is now. When I first moved down, obviously, you're using the sat nav every time you go out and your directions and everything like that. But it just feels like, yeah, I've been here for a while. So, yeah, I'm settled down here now. And I like to stay down there as well.
Mm. And I mean, for you as well, looking ahead and looking past, this is also, I guess, an opportunity to get into the Championship as well, and all the opportunities that brings as well. But your former club, Burton, could do us a solid as well for the next couple of games. Have you sort of got in contact with a few of their lads and gone, come on, step it up for these?
Yeah.
It's maybe not Good Friday, but for the rest of it.
Yeah, and I think I spoke to one of the boys last week just to say I'd like to catch up and everything like that. And he said, like, hopefully we can do you a favour because we've got Sunderland and Barnsley. And I was like, yeah, if you can do us a favour there, that'd be brilliant. And but yeah, they're doing well. They've picked up some points over the last few weeks, and maybe a bit too far off the playoffs at the minute. But if they do a big push, and they can maybe sneak in there.
Mm, I mean, it's just so open. I mean, at both ends of the table, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, for you, could you do with the table being a bit more spread out than what it is? And some teams, so I mean, particularly the likes of someone like an Accrington Stanley, who you could go, I could do with you boys having your feet up on the beach when you come down to us on sort of the first weekend of May.
Well, yeah, you never know. They might be, I don't know what the league is, I don't know where they are in the league, but they might be safe last game of our season, and they might think, well, it's holiday time. Hopefully they might think, and we go out and they'll win, and it could be a massive win for us. Like, who knows? We've got another six games before that. But yeah, it's quite tight, obviously, down the below and in the playoffs and at the top. And I think it's just the way it is, and that's football. And we just got to get on with it and try and pick up wins.
Are you someone that looks at the table at all, or have you sort of made a conscious effort now and just go, I'm not going to look at it now, or do you look at it after?
I don't look at it all the time. Every now and again, probably after the game, I look at it and see what the point gap is, or obviously what we need to do to how many points we are behind. But the table's there, it don't lie. And if you look at it at the end of the season and we're in that top two, then that'd be brilliant.
Is there a bit of you which says on Sunday that could be one of the maybe toughest games that Pompey will play all season? And if you've come through that on the positive side of things, then it only bodes well for the next seven games.
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone could see how much we worked on, how much we worked throughout the game. It was a tough game, but we've had a lot of games where we've struggled this season, and there's a lot of good teams in this league where, with obviously teams below us, where they should be higher. But yeah, we've got, like I said, seven games to come, and they're all going to be our games. We shouldn't never think that it's going to be our games. So yeah, all we've got to do is just go out there and a bit of confidence.
And it's, I guess, I think everything's going to be critical as well. When you look at the final week, as you've got Sunderland away, Peterborough home, Accrington Stanley at home, all in the space of 7 days. And how hard, I know you've said that you take one game at a time, but you look at it and could that be an absolutely critical week in the Blues' future in League One?
Yeah, it's massive. It could be a massive week. And if we beat obviously Peterborough, and we beat obviously Sunderland, and we might have a chance of winning the last game of the season where we can go automatic, then it is what it is. But we've got plenty more games before that where we need to win, and every game's a hard game, and we just got to just go out there, give it all, and see what happens and get the 3 points and try and close that gap.
How important is it then? I guess there's a few more games at Fratton than there are away from PO4, that the atmosphere for those four games of the league season is exactly like it was at Sunderland, not the Wembley game, actually Sunderland before Christmas, where it was an absolute cauldron.
Yeah, we've got, obviously we've got more games at home, and that's massive for us. Obviously with the force we've got of our fans, it's been brilliant all season, and it's been a pleasure to obviously play in front of. And once this, they always call it, it's your 12 man, and that is exactly what frightening is, and all the fans, and they get behind you. And remember, if we're losing or anything like that, we know we can, we've got them behind us to push us forward.
I mean, it is a very hectic end to the season. There's no two ways about it. You've got obviously the Easter holidays and all what that brings in terms of travel, and travelling to Burton and then home to Coventry, and then it's a midweek game against Peterborough after travelling back from Sunderland. Is it a bit daunting, the amount of miles which are going to be covered and the amount of minutes on the pitch which are going to be covered?
Yeah, and the Easter one is a big turnaround, because obviously you've got Friday, you've got a couple of days, 72 hours where you're doing what you need to do, and you've got Coventry, and then we go up to and play Peterborough at home, then we go all up to Sunderland, and then we've got Accrington at home, and it's a lot to take and a lot to fit in. And obviously the Peterborough game where we got Tuesday night, we didn't really want that, but we got a final in place of that, and obviously what a day it was. But we've got seven games left where we need to knuckle down and go for it.
Would you rather that game was on a Tuesday night slightly earlier than when it is?
What? Which one's that?
The Peterborough game.
That'd be nice, yeah.
It's sure going to be a really interesting end to the season. Tom, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the Thursday Football Hour this evening. I think I speak for everyone. Best of luck for the rest of the season, and fingers crossed, if it's not through the automatics, it's through the playoffs, although another day out at Wembley isn't a bad thing.
No, it'll be good. Thank you, mate.
Cheers. Thank you, Tom. A pleasure as always. Thank you to everyone who's got involved via your texts, your tweets, your emails this evening. It's always, always appreciated. The Football Hour's return tomorrow, where Jake will be hosting. To look forward to that game, which is live on Pompey Live. If you want to listen to Jake, that's 6 till 7, same time every Friday. Pompey Live comes to you from 2 o'clock away at Wickham Athletic. So get your coffee at the ready, get some snacks in. It's going to be a long one as the Blues face Gareth Ainsworth's Wickham side. I'll be back on for the Monday Football Hour, where we'll be reviewing what is hopefully another 3 points closer to the automatic promotion places, and hopefully a few other clubs do us a favour as that. The guest still to be confirmed. Well, I'm back on Thursday with another Pompey player, same time, same place, here on 93.7 Express FM. So thank you all for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure. Jake is back tomorrow live from 6 o'clock. Have a good evening.